Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
In Western society, and especially in Ireland, drinking is largely accepted as a social activity. You know, something we do when we celebrate or commiserate, when we're anxious or excited, or just plain bored. So I suppose, in other words, we just do it the whole time. But what if you wanted to cut the alcohol out? Like, completely, and see what life without it would look like. Well, Kate Gunn did just that, and she wrote a book about her experience. It's called The Accidental Soberista, and she joins me now. Kate, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you.
I'm fascinated by this, Kate, because I think most of what's known as sober literature is written by people whose lives were, I think it'd be fair to say, essentially turned upside down because of drinking. But that is just not what your story is.
Yeah, that's exactly it. A lot of the books are, you know, about people who have hit rock bottom and then risen again from that. But mine was really like I was just a normal social drinker and had no intention of giving up alcohol at any point, and kind of just fell into this. And that's, you know, where the accidental soberista came from. It was really an accident that I gave up.
So when you say just a normal drinker, what would you characterize as normal drinking?
So I would have, you know, wine at home, share a bottle of wine with my partner at home. If I went out, I would have a good few drinks, you know, with the girls. So nothing worrying, nothing out of the ordinary. I probably drank less than a lot of people in my group, more than others, you know, just that acceptable level of drinking that we have in Irish society.
So you weren't that girl that everybody's like, oh, Jesus, watch out for Kate this evening. You know, we're going to have to look after
Thankfully, no, I was never that person.
I mean, would you suffer very badly with hangovers?
Terrible hangovers. And
okay.
As I got older, the hangovers got worse. And, you know, it was kind of like playing Russian roulette. Sometimes I'd get hit like really badly, having not drunk very much. And other times I could escape with it. So I kind of I never knew what to expect. So if I went out on a Friday night, I could, like, the whole of Saturday could be wiped out, or I could be absolutely fine.
Yeah, I think that definitely is something I noticed happening as I got older. Like, one glass of wine could have me gone for 2 days, or you could go out on a big one with your friends and wake up the next day thinking, Jesus, I don't feel half bad. So it is like you're saying, that game of Russian roulette. You just don't know, am I going to miss out on a couple of days now, or am I going to be okay?
Exactly that. And also that, like, when that happens, you know, your planning is kind of out of the question. So, you know, I used to, like, it sounds awful now, but I used to not plan things with the kids, you know, in case, if I was going out, in case I had a hangover, which, you know, when you stop drinking, all of that is just like, you know, you're going to be in top form every weekend.
I would imagine a lot of parents find themselves in that situation and just probably don't admit it out loud that often.
Perhaps.
But, like, obviously the book is called Accidental Soberista, so obviously, as the name would suggest, you gave up by accident. So what was the intention when you went about this in the beginning stages?
It was really just in support of my partner, Aon, who had reflux issues, which, you know, is really common in Ireland. And his doctor had said to just take a break for 30 days and see whether that helps it.
Okay.
So he came back and said he's going to do, you know, the 30 days off it. And we hadn't been together very long. Like, we'd been together for about a year, and that year had been, like, you know, social and drinking occasions. So I was actually quite nervous. I didn't want to be like the drunken girlfriend beside him. So I said I would do it for 30 days with him, as long as we could go back onto the drink afterwards.
And then, I mean, why did the 30 days just not stop? What possessed you to keep going?
There was a couple of things, but I think it was a definite mindset shift. And, you know, I'd done Dry January before and I absolutely hated it because it was all about, you know, what you were giving up, where we went into this with a different mindset. We went in with, OK, what can we get out of this month? And we got loads out of it. You know, it was more, our focus was kind of on, you know, the Saturday mornings, the Sunday mornings, getting out hiking, going running, things like that, rather than what we were missing out on the Friday night and the Saturday night.
And, like, when you told your family, or I suppose more so your mates, listen, this isn't just going to be 30 days. I feel like a real life shift here. How did they take it? Because I know a huge amount of socialising, particularly in Ireland, it's surrounded by drink and alcohol.
Yeah, I never really had that conversation because we did the 30 days and then we said we'd do another 30 days. So, you know, I was almost embarrassed by it at the start, whereas now I can be quite proud and say, like, you know, I don't drink. I was definitely embarrassed that I couldn't say that out loud for quite some time.
What was the embarrassment? Was it because were you afraid people would just automatically jump to that end conclusion that you obviously have an issue with drink?
I think strangers definitely jump to conclusions if they don't know you. They obviously think there's like some sort of backstory there, or, you know, that like you're either sick or pregnant or an alcoholic. Whereas people who know you know you're not that. But the embarrassment is just like, I think it's because it's so ingrained in Irish society that we all drink. And we're all very distrustful of people who don't. You know, we have this, like, it's the only drug that you give up that people don't congratulate you for. You know, there's a deep distrust there, I think.
Yeah, it's a funny one. And I think also on top of all that, I mean, I have a number of sober friends and sober family as well. And I think one of the biggest hills for them to climb was the socialising, because I suppose it just reaches that point in the night where people kind of think, I've heard this story 30 times now, so I'm just going to have to go home. So that can be quite difficult, because I know from people that I know that they ended up losing some of those friends. And, you know, it can be quite a shift in that way.
Yeah, and I was very fortunate. I didn't have any of that in terms of losing friends. But, you know, I would always say if you've lost friends over the fact that you don't drink, then perhaps, you know, they weren't the right friends for you.
Absolutely.
But the socialising aspect is really difficult at the start, and you have to learn like who you are without a drink in your hand in those social situations. And it's difficult. And I was like very uncomfortable for a good period of time. Initially, I kind of just avoided it. And then, you know, I knew I couldn't just become a hermit or I would lose those friends, and had to go with that, you know, uncomfortable feeling for a good few times until I learned who I was without the drink in my hand and became like happier without it.
Even say, and I know this is just such an Irish thing to suggest, but like music festivals, for example, like Electric Picnic or something, like it's essentially a 3-day booze affair. Would you go down to a festival and be completely sober? Or like, I did. You did? And how did it go?
Well, we went to, like, you know, within our first 3 months, so we gave up in October 2016, and that December we went down to Other Voices in Dingle, which is a different kind of festival. You know, it's essentially in pubs throughout Dingle Village.
Yeah.
And we did have a little bit of a wobble the first one we walked into, and it was like, you know, the pints of Guinness and everyone, like, it's just part of the atmosphere. But we had like a couple of non-alcoholic pints and it was fine, and we got like an awful lot out of it. And then we went to All Together Now a couple of years ago, which was like a full-on festival. And it was just brilliant. It was one of the best festival experiences I've had. And you know, without that, like dying the next day in a tent and just like the horrors of that, you escaped all of that, but you got all the good stuff and the music. And yeah, we loved it.
And was there ever a moment where you just felt like you were going to pack it all in and order a big dirty glass of white wine?
There was. My biggest wobble was on our first holiday in Spain, and we were doing the Camino, and we stopped in this gorgeous little tapas bar, and it was kind of like a cellar with all these like beautiful bottles of wine all around. And, you know, like red wine would have been my go-to. And I just said, yeah, I'm going to have a drink. And we spent a couple of minutes just kind of going over it in our heads. And I was already down that avenue of, okay, well, I have a glass of wine, but if I have a glass of wine, will I have a half bottle? Will we just share a bottle of wine? And then it was like, already I kind of knew you were, you know, imposing those rules on yourself already. And it was kind of, I could see it just unraveling. And then just said, yeah, I'm not going to bother.
That's good willpower. That's impressive, Kate. I mean, there's a lot of people, particularly though, no, seriously, especially at the moment where, you know, I think there's a lot of people listening who would think, ah, things are bad enough at the moment without giving up the booze as well. I mean, what would you say to somebody with that kind of an attitude?
Well, you know, I heard somebody discussing that, and you know, they were saying, you know, how do you get through this whole pandemic without alcohol? And they were like, how do you get through it with alcohol? Like, it makes everything so much worse and so much harder. And there's definitely something in that. You know, the more of those occasions that you go through, the more confident you become, and the less willpower you need, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's it. I think willpower is probably the key phrase there. I did read, which I found quite interesting, that when it comes to alcohol, you believe moderation is actually harder than complete abstinence, which is interesting because it's a really topical thing to say at the moment, because I don't know if you've read about Demi Lovato, who recently had her overdose, and she's doing all these interviews at the moment where she calls herself California sober, which is essentially being able to dabble in alcohol and whatever in moderation. And it's quite a controversial thing for a lot of people. Why do you think that that's harder than abstinence?
Yeah, there's actually studies done in it, and they showed that like the people who tried moderation failed more often than the people that just gave up fully. But for me, you know, like going back to that, it was easier to keep the principles 100% of the time than say 98% of the time. Because if you don't drink, you just don't drink. And all of those conversations and rules and headspace that you take up with setting those, you know, of the like not drinking to Monday to Friday, or you know, only having half a bottle of wine if you go to a restaurant, all of those rules kind of just they take up a lot of energy and a lot of mental headspace, and all of us I think make those rules in our head. And it's very difficult to stick to those rules. So if you have a drink, you know, those rules kind of go out of the picture, and you just like they're lost to you.
You go hell for leather as well, probably.
Yeah, like you do. It's just like, for me, I guess that's it. I think it would just be a slippery slope and then you're back to square one. So yeah, it was easier for me to just say, okay, I just don't drink and I don't
keep,
drink and
keep
that's
it black and white. Finally, yeah. Kate, what tips would you give anybody, I suppose, who wants to fully, like you're saying, fully embrace sobriety, or at least give it a go? Like, especially, you know, when the clubs and the pubs are going to start to reopen again and that temptation is put there.
Yeah, my advice would always be to like to start slow. So maybe like start with the 30 days, and also, you know, that mindset of what can I get out of it. So don't think about what you're missing out. Just focus on the positive stuff that you're getting out of it. And, you know, we spend our whole lives drinking from the age of 16 or whatever. So to give up like for 30 days, it's not that much. And you don't know where those 30 days are going to take you. So it could be like the very best thing you've ever done in your life. So for me, it's like worth a shot.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us today. I can only imagine there's so much in this conversation and in your book, obviously, that can give people listening some pause for thought. And if you'd like to check out Kate's new book, it's called The Accidental Soberista and is published by Gill Books. Back after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.